Susie Jones, everybody. There she goes. She's applauding herself as she walks out of the studio, which is a, honestly, it's a move after my own heart. That is spectacular. Drive Time on the air. Welcome. We got Twins baseball on at 5:30 today. So pregame at 5:30, first pitch after 6. And the Twins are in Cincinnati. So David Festa for the Twins, first pitch at 6:10. We're going to be live at Target Field on Monday.
Monday we're going to be there, yeah.
You know why we're there? CCO gave tickets to Seth and his girlfriend.
Ah.
So we are there to make sure there's no funny business.
I think that's smart. Very smart.
No funny business. Nobody wants that. It's Seth's birthday on the same day as Sam's graduation party. So Seth's birthday. Do I get to give that as a birthday present? The free tickets?
No.
The station? Why
no.
not?
No.
Why not? Doesn't seem right.
Okay.
Just because I got it for free?
Yeah.
It has value. What if I got a car for free and then I gave it to Seth? Would that count?
I mean, there's a slight difference between the value of a car and the value of a couple of ball seats, but, you know.
Fair enough. Fair enough. 5:10, let's do the D-Rush Hour News headline.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And the lead story is the continued fallout around the country when it comes to discussions about security for our elected officials. Here in Minnesota, we started talking about it almost immediately after the politically motivated assassination of the former Speaker of the Minnesota House, Melissa Hortman. While securing our Capitol certainly would not have prevented what happened in the early morning hours of Saturday, the issue of attacks and threats and danger when it comes to public officials, it's been front and center not only here but around the country. And our Capitol, as State Senator John Marty knows very well, is wide open. It's part of the charm, John, of that Capitol, but it is also perhaps time to take a look at the reality of our world and make some changes, right?
That's exactly right, Jason. It's a balance between accessibility and security, and I don't like metal detectors, but any courthouse in the state has metal detectors. And 5 years ago or so, there were courthouses, state capitals in Idaho and Michigan and Indiana and so on, where there were folks dressed as if they're dressed for war and combat coming into state capitals and leaving semi-automatic weapons at legislators and others trying to intimidate them and so on. And fortunately, there haven't been any deadly incidents in state capitals, but you don't want to wait until it happens. And this terrible tragedy last week, which I mean, I'll say as an individual who knew the victims and was friends with the victims, Melissa and Mark Hortman were some of the nicest people in the world. And just to see this happen, it just guts you. But so I think there's all of a sudden now we've got to start taking this seriously. And at a minimum, I think we should not be allowing guns in the state capitol. I have a legislation to do that for a number of years. But now is the time we ought to be looking at, unfortunately, looking at things like metal detectors, too.
You know, yesterday we had Paul Gazelka on the show, and he was talking about the fact that near the end of his time in the mm-hmm. legislature, he was carrying his mm-hmm. own gun, which because of you know, the fact that we were in the sort of post George Floyd murder, the riots that were happening. He said he had protests at his house, all of that sort of thing. Is the right way to go to ban? Do you think the ban is the way to go?
I think the ban is the right way to go for two reasons. One, it's safer for everybody involved. I don't want to have, I mean, the issue, and whenever they've talked about guns in schools, teachers say guns, you know, kind of thing. Whenever you talk that way, you have to realize you might be able to protect yourself with a gun. Somebody else might get control of your gun. I just think the idea that in the reason we don't allow guns in courtrooms, courthouses, is because the risk. There are plenty of armed sheriffs in any courthouse in the state. And nevertheless, there's a reason we don't want guns there. And part of the reason is people have used guns to intimidate. They use guns anytime there's a hearing on gun violence at the Capitol. There are a whole bunch of people who start carrying guns to those hearings, not because the hearings are any more dangerous, but because they're trying to intimidate. And I think we can have honest, good, fierce political discourse without bringing guns to the scene. And to me, I think we should be banning guns from the Capitol. And at this point, I think there's a need for looking very seriously at other security measures like metal detectors, which, again, any courthouse in the state, you'll go through them.
I mean, to me, the metal detector is sort of a no-brainer. Like, you know, after what happened on January 6th, we saw all around the country many state capitals that had been as open as the Minnesota Capitol is, kind of adding those metal detectors. We were one of, I think, about a dozen states that remained open. And I do. I love that we stay open as a reporter, as a citizen. I love that our house is open. But man, what happened this weekend is a reminder that there is either evil or mental illness or whatever out there. Right. It's just not worth the risk.
I think I'm at the same conclusion you're at, as much as I don't like it, because it feels more intimidating just to walk through those, and you have to close a lot of entrances because you can't have security at each entrance to a building. So you have to close a lot of entrances to the public. But I think we're at the stage in life where, unfortunately, we need to do that.
State Senator John Marty, DFLer, with us on CCO. Could you see a compromise scenario where maybe guns were banned, but if you are an elected official, you would be allowed to do it? I just picture Republican legislators are and gun rights groups are going to be very against this, as they have been in the past.
Right. And that's the difficulty about it. I mean, to me, 50 years ago, Ronald Reagan is governor of California. He's the one who pushed for banning guns in their capital. Black Panthers had come in there armed protests in the capital, and the governor and both parties in the legislature said this is not a safe situation. They banned guns back then. It seems to me that that's something we should be doing. And again, Minnesota stands out because we're one of the few that does so little about this. To me, I think we'll all be safer if we don't have guns in the Capitol, not just banning them, but also the metal detection to make sure nobody's carrying. Because one tragedy like this, I mean, that just throws the whole political world into chaos. We shouldn't be deciding things by who gets assassinated. The same thing when people attempted to assassinate the president last year. I mean, all those things are just so totally antithetical to everything in our democracy, everything we care about. And to me, I think we've crossed the point now where, unfortunately, we may have to do this. And there is a task force. There's advisory commission or something on Capitol security that's been discussing this for the last number of years. But this tragedy last weekend certainly ups the ante on dealing with that now.
John Marty, thank you. State Senator John Marty, and he's talking about that advisory committee on Capitol area security. Ramsey County Sheriff, Republican Bob Fletcher, had asked for metal detectors and x-ray machines. And let's be honest, it's the normal stuff you have when you go to see a play or when you go to a sporting event. It is time to have it at the state capitol. Second up in the lead is a massive move by one of the nation's largest food companies, Kraft Heinz. You know them for their ketchup. You know them for Kraft macaroni and cheese. They are saying they will remove all chemical dyes from their products by the end of 2027. That'll change the way your Kool-Aid looks or your Jell-O or your Crystal Light. They are using red dye number 40, blue dye number 1. The first major food company to officially announce they were going to be done with this. This, of course, has been a big push by the new Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And to get some insight on this, we visit with the director of label and ingredient reviews for Registrar Corp, Anna Benevente, who deals with this sort of FDA approval, ingredients. This is a key part of her job, and she's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. How big of a deal is this, Anna?
It's really kind of groundbreaking in a number of different ways, Jason. I was pretty shocked when I heard it. And it comes, you know, on the heels of FDA making an announcement back in April that they were going to seek voluntary removal of the synthetic colors by industry. The announcement didn't say that they were going to put forth any regulations, that they were just going to work with industry to try and get this done. And so we were actually pretty surprised, though, because we didn't know whether or not industry would be very receptive to this. To reformulate, particularly for a company craft size with the number of products that they have, to reformulate an entire marketplace worth of products is a pretty big lift. And so, you know, we were wondering whether or not anybody was going to kind of get on board, but it certainly seems that they have.
Yeah, they said 10% of their product line, which, you know, for you and me, 10% maybe isn't much, but if you're a Kraft freaking Heinz, like 10% is a lot of products. Jell-O, Crystal Light, on and on. They've already taken some of the dyes out of mac and cheese, which I think maybe consumers didn't even notice, which that would be the ideal, right? If you could do it where people don't look at the Jell-O and say, like, this looks weird, I don't want to buy it anymore.
Right. Yeah. Consumer acceptance is going to be a really big part of this. Yet, like you say, I don't know that people realize that the Kraft mac and cheese, although given the orange color, maybe they should have guessed.
Yes.
But they don't seem to have, you know, realized or, you know, no sort of negative reactions, you know, from consumers regarding that. So consumer acceptance, I think, is a big part of it, because a lot of those colors are very vivid. And so to reproduce that with a naturally sourced color is going to be a challenge. That's part of the challenge of reformulating these products.
We have seen this being in Minnesota, the home of General Mills. I remember when General Mills tried to take the food dyes out of a number of their cereals, and the consumers overwhelmingly said, we don't like this. I do wonder if, from your conversations with other companies going through discussions about this, you know, perhaps the desire of the consumer has changed, and they're cool with the fact that the colors are going to look a little different.
Yeah, I think you've really honed in on, you know, the change since when General Mills tried to do that back in 2015. There's so much more, you know, on social media and in the press about synthetic colors, and a lot more demand from consumers that companies find natural alternatives. There's a heightened interest, I think, in, you know, what's being added to our food. And so I think we stand a much better chance now of these types of changes being accepted and demanded by consumers rather than what General Mills faced all those years ago.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's a heavy lift for sure. And we'll see if other companies jump in as well. Anna Benevente from Registrar Corp. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks, Anna.
Very welcome. Thank you.
D-Rush Hour News Headlines, page 2 after the break. Pickleball. Is it really that obnoxiously loud? This is an issue in so many suburbs. Do you really have to wait 30 minutes to swim after eating? And are we done as a society because of that Sydney Sweeney soap? D-Rush Hour. Leading you up to Twins baseball pregame here on CCO.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
Well, the temp for Randy from Shorewood is very good, as he just won a 4-pack of tickets for the game on Thursday, June 26, against the Mariners. The temp for our Minnesota Twins, well, let's hope that day off helped out.
Hard to call that temp anything other than cold when you just got broomed in your last series, you know?
Straight up swept by the Astros.
And Royce Lewis is back on the IL. Buxton's back tonight. He's back in the lineup. That's one good sign.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
We're glad they'll be coming home after this series in Cincinnati. Two pretty evenly matched teams, but we'll see how the Twins do. But their temp is cold right now.
Pretty chilly.
Let's do page 2 before we get to the Twins pregame. Start with pickleball. Pickleball noise serves up drama and police calls. Is that loud? Is it that loud? Minnesota Star Tribune with the story. And they are saying that there is a certain frequency of that particular ball, that pop, 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 little high pitch. One neighbor of a pickleball court says, I would correlate it to somebody pounding on your roof with a hammer, putting up shingles day after day after day after day. Apple Valley has paid for sound studies. Maple Grove had a petition, a couple of police calls. They've banned pickleball at certain tennis courts. This is going to be an issue in Apple Valley. There was another neighborhood. Sound engineers say it's really difficult because the frequency is so strange. The best choice is to put pickleball courts near traffic, not in traffic. Although, do you really have to wait 30 minutes after you eat before you go swimming? No. Washington Post saying this is one of the dumbest kind of mom's things they tell you. There's no evidence. Has nothing to do with drowning. Eating does not cause you to cramp up, which leads to drowning. So don't worry about it. And Sydney Sweeney's bath soap is sold out. I think Sydney Sweeney is kind of in on the joke. As sad as it is, as sad as it is that you sickos are buying her bath water soap, I think that's more on you than her. USA Today with that story. Let's get a Twins win tonight. Dan and I will be back tomorrow.